it on my phone. It's a little different. So this is the newbie bloggers. And so I am so excited today because I want to talk about writing and publishing. The first thing I want to talk about, and this is, wow, this is a big one for me too. How about finding the time? Finding the time. So talk to me about that. Who has some tips and tricks and hacks on finding the time to actually do your blog post? Anyone?
Oh, I used to do it like Sunday afternoon when it was quiet.
Okay.
I've been a little busy the last couple of weeks, so I haven't done anything. I haven't blogged for a while, so that's bad on me. So I need to get back into that groove. And yeah, just think of some ideas. Although I did get one handed to me, just a blog post. I got permission from the author. It's about autism travel. And actually she approached me last year to be a part of her book. It's not been published yet, but she published in a travel market report about autism travel. And there were such good ideas, you know, what to look for, and so I emailed her and asked her if I had permission to publish it. So I could just do her whole thing on a blog.
Okay.
I have to acknowledge her and acknowledge the travel market report where it was published.
And you know what? That is a very good point because it's so easy. There's so much information out there on the internet that it's so easy to go and tap into someone else's stuff. And you definitely have to make sure that you get permission. And also, I know it's sometimes you look at somebody else's sales page, and this is a little bit off the topic of blogging, but you look at somebody else's sales page or somebody else's website or somebody else's, I don't know, newsletter or whatever. And it's okay to maybe take some ideas and copy the format. But we do have to definitely make sure that we give credit if we're going to publish something for somebody else, get their permission and then, you know, give them credit. And again, a good way to do that is I ask sometimes, and I've done a couple of these, if you'll look at my actual blogs, I've actually asked a couple of folks. I told them that I, you know, like you, I've emailed them and I said, I love everything you've said in your blog. And I said, I would really like to put that out to my audience. And so the way we did it is I was able to copy and paste their exact blog and then on the line of who the author was, make them a guest blogger. And they actually, then it becomes a guest blog. And then the links in that blog go back to them, not to me. And so then at the very bottom, once I get out of, you know, copying, pasting their blog, then at the very bottom, I can put my links as well. But I don't, if you're going to do that, then you don't want to change anything.
No.
Because it's actually their blog.
Well, it's such good information. And I also have her permission to like do a presentation.
Okay.
It. So now when you acknowledge an author or publication, do you do that at the beginning?
I like to because I don't want it to be misconstrued. Because how many times have I started to read something and I didn't actually read the whole thing? You know, I've gotten, you know, sidetracked somewhere along the way. You know, the phone rings or something happens and I don't quite get to the bottom. So I like to do it at the very beginning and again at the end. If I'm going to use somebody else's material, I like to give them credit on both ends of it. So that way, if somebody sees that I'm giving credit at the beginning, they know it's not mine. They start reading. And then if they really, really think, oh, everything in this article is resonating with me, once they get to the end, I let them know how to contact that. That person's contact information will be there.
Yeah. Good. Thank you. So that's a tip, though. You never know what's going to be out there that you can use. So I know that PRL.
Yes.
PLR is almost PLR. The same name, but it's PLR.me, I think, isn't it?
Yes.
But you don't have to acknowledge anybody. Those are
Correct. Those are free for the taking. And you can, you know, once you go into PLR, you can copy and paste any of those and then adjust them as much or as little mm-hmm. as you want. Yeah. If it's something that reads okay for what you're doing, you can just post it exactly the way it was published in PLR and use your name then as the author. I like to change it up just a bit because, again, it is public licensed material, and 4 or 5 or 10 other people may have also used that same article. And yeah. I don't want someone to think that I plagiarized it. And so what I do is I change it up enough to make it mine every time I go to publish one of those. And oftentimes it's changing a key phrase inside the article to my phrase.
Yeah, I would do that. Definitely, just that's just me, but
it's a fast way to get an article. To get, at least it gives you the template. Yes,
but how many? We read articles all the time, and we think, "Wow, this is good. I'd like to use this." But like, and it's okay as long as you get permission.
Right. Now, did you get permission in writing by chance?
It's email.
Okay, so so that's in writing, yeah.
Right.
And I mention that because it's one thing to have a verbal permission and then later for somebody to go, I don't remember giving you permission. So yeah. It's nice to have it actually in writing in an email. And then I start a file because I'm trying to go paperless. I don't know about you gals, but I get overrun with mail and paper and so again, I'm running, you know, 30 rental doors, and I'm doing the academy, and I'm doing the coaching, and I'm doing some writing. And after a while, you just get run over with paperwork. And so I have been trying to go more electronic. And so I've been creating a file with my emails for those permissions and then moving that permission email over into that file. Instead of printing out a paper copy and putting it somewhere, I've been trying to make my filing more electronic. So I hopefully that's helpful. So, but how about timing to write? Now I know it's okay for the PLR, but even then you still have to find the time to sit down, go through, find the article, you know, tweak it to make it yours, upload it, you know,
yeah,
make sure mostly, the paragraphs.
I'm writing from scratch, from
ideas that have been
bounced. Well, once I actually sit down, because usually I've been thinking about it so long, it just kind of flows. That's why I do it on a Sunday, and then I publish it Wednesday. So it gives me time to go over, just rewrite some things or make sure everything is okay.
Yeah, I enjoy that as well.
Yeah.
I like to write when I'm walking. I like to take a walk and I use my phone and I open up my Google Docs. And when you tap to do a text message or what, anytime you tap to type on your phone, your little keyboard comes up. And on your keyboard, you will find a little microphone there in the corner of your keyboard. And so once you open up a new Google Doc, you can tap the keyboard like you're going to, you know, tap the document like you're going to start typing. But when your keyboard opens up and you see the little microphone, you can tap the microphone. And when you talk, whatever you say will automatically type out on your Google Doc. And so I like to do that and not look at it because my downfall is I always start to edit when I'm writing. I'll write something and go, did I spell that right? Next thing you know, I'm looking up the spelling on something. And so I like the Google Docs with the microphone because I just cannot even look at my phone. I have it right here in front of me. I can walk and talk and I can tell a whole story or do the whole blog post or whatever it is I'm writing. I just kind of tell it just like I'm talking to you gals. And it writes it for me. And because it's in Google, and I know Sherry mentioned earlier in our phone call earlier today about Google Suites. And because it's in Google, I can sit down then at my laptop and open up my Google Suites. And there it is. And then I can do my editing. And Ruth, I found my problem. My Microsoft Edge was updating. That's what bumped me off of Zoom. Oh, it just now popped up and says Microsoft Edge has now finished its update. Oh, the best laid plans. Hey, it's all good. We talked this morning on Clubhouse about technology. And so again, my favorite backup is my phone. I can just jump on my phone and do almost anything that I can do on my computer. So anyway, so it's all good. So that's what happened a while ago.
So on your phone, though, you can't share screen, right? And you can't see somebody's screen.
Yes, let me look. And it says, let me see, background minimize settings. I'm looking here under security, waiting room, hide, share screen. I turned my share screen on. So yes, I can share screen.
I thought, okay, maybe that's something new then. I didn't know for sure if you could see somebody's
screen. At the bottom, it'll say more on your phone. The three little dots, it'll say more. And when I click the more button, it gives me a security. And that's where it is on my computer, is under the security tab. So I tap the security tab and there is the option to share screen there. So yes.
Oh.
Yes, you can.
That's good to know.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then with Sally being on, if I click my participants and I click then on Sally, I can make her a co-host. And that way, if I get bumped off of my phone, it'll make her the co-host. So Sally is now the co-host. I just made her the co-host. So, here's what I want to tell you gals, and I know this is a little off the topic of blogging, but if you're doing Zoom calls, and I know Debbie, you're getting ready to do your own Zoom and use your own Zoom platform for your Fireside Chat with Debbie Marks. If you do not assign a co-host, then if you get bumped off the call, Zoom automatically makes the very first person that signed on after you your host. And they have to know to let you back in the room, because Zoom requires that you either have a waiting room or a password. And so I chose the waiting room because I don't know how many times I've tried to join a Zoom call and I'm like, what's the dang password? I don't know the password. And then I'm kind of stuck out in no man's land, sorting through my emails or whatever, trying to find the darn password. So I choose a waiting room option instead of the password option. But your co-host, whoever takes the call over once you get bumped off, has to know to let you back in. And that's why it's always nice, as soon as you get your room started, to make the announcement on who's your co-host and then to tell them, you know, so Sally, if I get bumped off, let me back in.
Okay, Kathy, I'll do that.
That is a super good idea. And it's a good thing just to keep in mind.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So that just gives you some insight as to how Zoom works. So anyway, with blogging, do you have a certain time of day that you gals like to blog? I personally, Sally was talking in our last Clubhouse call that she likes to get her work done, you know, before 2 o'clock every day, and that she's very productive in the mornings. I am too. That's my best time. I like to start my day with Wendy, as many of you know. On Clubhouse. And then as soon as I'm off of that, I get busy and I try to have all my work done by 11, because that's when my guests are checking out. If I'm back home at the bed and breakfast, that's when my guests are checking out, and I want to greet my guests and talk with them as they're coming through. And then I flip rooms real quick. So then I'm flipping rooms from like 11 to 2. So like Sally, I try to be done around 2 o'clock. Now, oftentimes I'm not, and I'll go back. Once I get my rooms flipped, I'll go back and do a couple more things, because Mark's out working on airplanes, and I do a couple more things until he gets in at 5. But I try to be done around 2, and I'm going to try to be better at that, because I want it now that the weather's getting nicer. But right. Sally says it's not so nice there yet today. But now that the weather's getting nicer. Yeah, I want to start getting outside after I get my rooms flipped. I want to start getting outside and getting my walk in. And we've got some great walking trails like right by my house. So anyway, so what is the best time for you to actually write your blog? Sally, how about you?
It was, like I said, usually Sunday afternoon, about four-ish. It's quiet because Ed's still taking a nap. So
okay.
So that's, and I've done all my Sunday stuff, you know, we haven't had dinner yet, but it just seems to fit. I don't normally like to work on Sundays as okay. far as, but that's kind of different. That's doing the blog is different than actually yeah. working.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because you're being creative and you're digging down kind of deep about what you're thinking about or feeling or whatever. And I think it's a great way for me to actually set the stage for my upcoming week. So I like to blog on Monday mornings because it does kind of set the stage for the week it kind of lets me realize what is front of mind for me for the week. And it helps me focus on how I want to include that in my business for the week. Ruth, how about you? Oh, I'm sorry. Oh. Go ahead, Sally.
I write everything in Word. I write all my blogs in Word. So I can go back and edit before I'm ready. And then I can find them.
You know, yes.
I make sure they have a title that I can find. So I can go back and look at them and say, well, maybe this is good to do again. You know, it's been a while. So maybe I can talk about that.
Okay. Sherry said she blogs in Word as well, but she likes to blog 2 weeks ahead of time. So yeah, if I could get that organized, Sherry. Yeah,
that's a very good idea because then you just have to...
Yes, because then when you have a busy week, you can just publish. You don't have to think, I haven't had time to write that yet. Yeah, good tips, good tips. Ruth, how about you? What is a good time for you to blog?
Well, I haven't officially started blogging yet, but I do write posts that are almost mini blogs, so I guess I can count those. I haven't really got my blog site set up yet. That's still in the works. But I'm like, Sherry, I like to do them ahead of time. I'm one of those people that don't like last minute things. And that's when I get stressed. So I will usually write these posts like a week or two in advance and then just get them scheduled so they're going to come out and I don't have to worry about them. So that's my big thing. And I did take, I'm going off a little bit off the question. I did take, I think it was Sherry's suggestion a month or so ago about using your book. And so I do that a lot. I've been writing from my book, just pulling excerpts from my book and using that. But I do like your idea of doing just speaking in for the Google Docs. I'm going to try that.
Now you can still, if you're saving them all over in Word, you can still, you know, move a Google Doc over into Word. If that's kind of your library of blogs, the Google Doc is just a great tool for walking and talking and writing all at the same time.
And I haven't really done much with Google Docs on my phone. So those are some more learning paths that I need to pursue. But yes, I don't know.
Word also has a dictate feature. So you can dictate on your phone on Word too.
Okay.
Okay, good to know, Sherry. Good to know. Yes.
I don't know that I've got Word on my phone. I think I have to pay for that.
No, there's a free app.
There is?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I'll have to look into that too. I know I have Word on my Mac, but they don't really communicate with each other. Like I can get in and see Word documents on my phone, but they won't update.
I use Mac. Notes. I use Notes.
You use Notes
on my phone.
Okay.
Well, now I use Notes too. And also, I didn't know that you could do a microphone on Notes though, but I do the audio message a lot on phone and then take it later and put it where I need it to go. Mm-hmm. I've done that.
Well, play around with whatever tools you have that works best for you. But if you like, if you're like me, when I finally go out to walk in the woods and I'm by myself and I can just go out on one of the trails and just walk for a couple of miles, that's when I start to relax. I start to think. And that's when I can really write inside my head. And so I'm thinking, boy, if I could just get this out on paper or remember it long enough to get back home. And then when I realize that I could just talk into you know, the microphone on my phone and it would record. That's a great way to write. If that's a good time for you, if you enjoy the, you know, if you enjoy the alone time and that's when you feel creative, it's just a great time to get some of that on paper.
Yeah. I've also started sending audio texts to people, which that's pretty cool.
Yes. Yes, that is very cool. Now, I like it, but oftentimes I try to not mix my business with, you know, when we're out with a group having dinner or whatever, you know, it's kind of annoying when somebody's always working or whatever. And so I oftentimes, when I get one of those voice texts, I'm like, darn, just text it to me because I could read it, but I can't really play it right now in front of everybody. But I could just open my phone kind of under the table and read it and make sure it wasn't an emergency or something, you know. So anyway, but I do like the voice. I do like the voice. Debbie, how about you? When is it your best time to write?
Usually it's at night. And I like Sunday night, but I also like Monday night. Because Monday night, I'm done with the weekend and I'm done. My Mondays are my busiest. Okay. So I know that if I do it on Monday night, then I realize being that I have the rest of the week free, I can do it. And then again, I'm free. I don't have to worry about it. So yeah, that's when I like to do it.
Okay.
Everybody's gone to bed, you know, the whole deal.
Right. Now, do you use PLR a lot or no?
No, I keep forgetting that it's there. But Sally reminded me and I'm going, oh yeah, that's right. And I gotta look back at PLR a lot more. And use brain is foggy. What's the one where we can make our own memes?
Oh, your own graphics and memes? Canva.
Canva, that's right. Yes. I've got a lot of stuff in Canva. And that I've created, but I haven't used it. And I don't know what I'm waiting for, but you know, it's always that I just got to wait for the right day. Well, you know, each day's right. Duh. So
I've upgraded my Canva so I can make more changes, do more things.
Okay.
So I've upgraded the Canva. It was very helpful for the wedding because I made a poster. Yes. Different things.
It makes you look very professional. Canva can make you look very professional. I love it. I love it.
Yeah. So that makes me realize I've got, and I've been putting it off, all of my travel pictures I have put on my external drive. So with Sally saying that, that's going to make me do it quicker to pull those off so that I can use them on this computer and make, you know, posters out of them and, you know, brag about my trips. Yeah. And
Don't forget, when you're starting to put your trips out there, weave a little bit of your story in there and then tie it in with your products and services.
Okay.
Yep.
Yes. That's right.
That's a great way.
If you have your own pictures, you don't have to worry about, you know, possibly using a picture that's copyrighted.
Right.
Right.
Because they're your own. I don't really care if people use my pictures, but I don't have any of my pictures copyrighted, but I do have a nice selection of pictures.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, Sally, you can copyright those in Canva. There is a way that you can put a little watermark across the corner of all your pictures.
Oh, that's good to know.
And yeah, that's all you need to do to copyright them is just put your little watermark across the lower corner somewhere.
Oh. And Ruth, you said something about having like short mini blogs. That's okay to post. Sometimes I just post. I have a catalog, a collection of travel quotes with pictures, my pictures. So sometimes I just put that on a blog, just short and simple and visually appealing.
And I could do that. I just haven't, I'm still just doing the whole WordPress versus HostGator. And so I don't really have the site set up well to do it. So I don't know how it would work. Like, I mean, I could post right now. They just don't look great. The format's not great and they aren't indexing. So I'm kind of in that mode right now. But I did use a lot of, and in fact, I am right now, if you go to my social media, I'm using pictures from our trip. But they do have Lake Talks with Ruth on the pictures from Canva. That's almost like a watermark. But
it is.
With the watermark, what do you put? Copyright Ruth Pierce?
Google that and explore the different options on what makes a picture copyrighted. I'm not sure what exactly in the photography industry. I would have to look at that to just see. I'll research that and see what actually considers a picture to be copyrighted. Some of the ones that you have to buy, they put the watermark right across the center on purpose so that you can't use it unless you buy it. And then they'll send you one with the watermark removed because you've paid for it. But generally, if you're going to be putting pictures out there of your own to copyright those, you would just, just put, I don't know if you want to put the word copyrighted. I'll have to research that. I'm not sure.
But that's good to know.
Yeah, there is a way to mark your pictures. Yeah, because again, these are your pictures and they're beautiful, wonderful pictures. And I can see someone wanting to use them.
Yeah. Oh, this is a sidebar comment. So Kathy, stop me if I'm going in direction want to go.
Nope, you're okay.
But I am doing this online photography class with the iPhone, really? Just simple ones. And it's good. It is really good because it teaches you how to take landscape pictures and how to break it up and what to look for. And I'm learning a lot through that.
I got a camera in 2020, a very nice one. And I took a great course. Class about photography and but I don't have like the manual. I had to download the manual. It's like a bazillion pages long.
It's probably in different languages too.
No, it's just in English, this bazillion pages. But I'm bound and determined to take my camera and use only my camera when I go to Myrtle Beach with the Olivedale group. And then when we go on our train trip.
Good for you.
There is a difference from the, when we've gone on our trips, I've taken my camera and I take lots of pictures, but I will take a few and put them on my phone so I can post them as I'm going along. Right. Yeah.
So I don't even know how to download pictures from the camera, the computer.
It have an SD card?
Yeah.
Okay.
It also has a cord. It also has, I can download it from the camera. Cord. That's how far behind I am on this camera, which I know is not on topic, but it's one of those things.
It's easy. All you do is take that SD card and fit it into the slot that's in your computer that's made for that card.
That's what I don't have on my laptop.
Yeah, I was going to say, not very many computers. Not all of them.
It's like they don't have the USB ports.
Right.
My laptop doesn't have a USB port.
No, a lot of them don't these days. Yeah. Especially the Apple products.
I had to get a special adapter to plug in. And then I don't, like I have now three slots for USB.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Oh, does everybody know what the little copyright symbol looks like? The little C inside the circle?
Yes.
And most of the time your keyboard will have it. If not, you can Google what to click on your keyboard to get it. Or you can find it somewhere in a cut and paste, and you can copy and paste it from another site. But anyway, what you do on your pictures is you put the little copyright symbol and your name in the corner of your picture is what the computer is telling me. Now, you can file all of that with a copyright office, but my research says if you put the little C with your name in the corner of your pictures, that you are telling folks that that is your picture.
Okay. Not a bad idea. I'll have to find that C thing because I don't think it's on my keyboard.
I'm looking here.
you can Google it. You can just Google and say, you want a clip art of the copyright symbol, and it'll come up, and then just copy and paste it.
And I bet you there's a shortcut key.
There is a shortcut key, and it's different on Windows versus Apple. Max, it's a different shortcut key. And I don't know, Sherry, do you know what the shortcut key is for the copyright? No? All right. Sherry's
a wealth of knowledge, so.
I know, I always ask Sherry because she's so into working on her websites and stuff. Sherry, when is it that you get a chance to do your writing? Talk to us about that.
One, I don't do shortcuts real well. Michael knows them like all the time. And I'm like, what do I need to do for that one? What do I need to do for that one? So Michael does the shortcuts. I don't. So I have no idea. I know Control C and Control V and Control Z. So Control copy, Control paste, and Control whatever you just undid, it'll put it back in front of you. So those I know, but most everything else I don't. And then I'll go, I'm in Canva, and then he's like, use the shift key, not the control key. I'm like, oh, okay.
Now again, I looked it up and it said for the Mac, it's the option key plus G, and across most application is the alternate code shortcut, which is alt plus 0169.
Yeah, how are you going to remember all that?
Yeah, I don't know. So I just find it, I find the symbol somewhere on a clip art. I just put clip art for copyright, and then I just copy and paste it instead of trying to remember how to do it. So anyway, so there's that. So I'll just toss that out.
Your question about writing.
Yes.
So I actually had put it on my calendar this week.
Okay.
Especially because I have this major thing that I have to have done by the end of the week. It is due. My transcript for China is due the 30th, but I want to have it done. I put it on my calendar at 6 o'clock this morning. I got up and I was up late. I didn't quite get there by six, but 6 o'clock every day, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday this week, I scheduled writing for 2 hours, stopped when Wendy came into the room, except for today when Kathy's volume went out and I was like, this is too intense. I can't hear her. I have too much going on. I just turned off Clubhouse. And then when so I had like these little blocks of time where I could concentrate on working. So I'm trying to like juggle a couple different things that are all due at the same time. So right now I'm just like, okay, when am I doing what? When am I doing what? But I do have a favor to ask, and I've been working on my mission statement, and I have something ready that I want to send out. Can everybody look at it and tell me if they understand it? Is that okay?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sure.
Can I share my screen?
Yes. I click share screen is on. Yes.
Okay.
While Sherry is getting ready for that, Elise, how about you? When do you have time to write, and are you blogging yet?
I'm so sorry. Say that one more time for me.
when do you have time to write, and are you blogging yet?
Okay. Well, I have not gotten started blogging. And hello to everyone yet again. I have not gotten started blogging yet. It has been a blur for me this last couple months, and I haven't gotten to it. I know that's one of the things that I said I wanted to do, but trying to set myself up on a schedule to be able to start the virtual assisting, to get the blogging done, to make sure that I'm just like in a flow, everything has felt just blocked for me. So really right now, my writing right now, I'm doing a little bit of content batching while we talk, just talking about, you know, what I can put on my social media. And I'm like, well, can I use any of this for blogging? And I know I can. I'm just like, well, I haven't gotten to that blogging step yet. So that's definitely in the works. Haven't gotten there yet.
Okay. Well, a couple of us are using HostGator. There is a link in my website, kathybenner.com, under the resource page. If you scroll down, there is a link there. And the reason I send you there to get HostGator is because you get it at a ridiculously low price if you, in fact, want to use that as your platform. But that's up to you. There's 101 platforms out there. Mm-hmm. I simply Googled what are the top platforms, and it's also in the course here for the bloggers. There is a section in the course that actually shows all of the platforms and the pros and cons and which ones are good and which ones are bad. And I'm kind of looking at my Teachable right now. Yeah, there's all kinds of platforms, and it's all listed out in the actual course. And you have access to that. And being in the mastermind, you have access to the course.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. I'll definitely
you can kind of research that. Yeah. So, all right. And show us what you have. All right. Can everybody see Sherry's screen?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Go ahead, Sherry.
So if you read that, does that make any sense?
Now on a mission statement, usually a mission statement just, correct me if I'm wrong, and let me just kind of look it up here. But I think you wouldn't start with the daughter educational consulting. I think it would be to train, to educate therapists and parents. I think it normally, and let me just look, how to start. I'm typing with one hand because I'm holding my phone.
I was working with a PR rep, and this is how she recommended I put it down.
Okay. Because a mission statement is usually a how-to statement. A mission statement is how-to. So I always start, I always just start it with the word to. When I had my salons, our mission was to bring the customer and the stylist together more of a, like in a cohort, because we were all independent contractors under one roof. And so I started mine with the word to bring customers, you know, my mission is to bring customers and stylists together in a cohort. So it's kind of an implied finish of the sentence. My mission is, to train educators, therapists, and parents to transcend the boundaries of traditional instruction. So I like all of it, except the fact that you've got your actual name there. Your mission is to train, educate, that sort of thing.
Okay.
So that's my only thought. So again, research that, make sure that what I'm telling you is correct.
Okay. Because I want to order a banner, and my time is running short. I need it by next week.
Okay. Anybody else have any thoughts on that, on the mission statement?
Go ahead, Ruth.
So when I read this, this is just my thoughts. And I do have an education background. It's kind of buried way back in there. And educators do like to think in big words. But I'm sitting here and I'm looking at it. So do you help me reach all the students in the classroom so that they're writing better stories? Or do you focus on the people that have trouble getting their words down on paper and it's more of the physical writing versus the thinking process? I don't know where you're going.
Okay. So dysgraphia is from the time you learn how to write a letter all the way up through writing a dissertation, and it's the blockage. So I am teaching how to help the social emotional well-being and classroom engagement. I'm not teaching you how to write letters. I'm not teaching you how to write paragraphs. I am not doing any of the academics. I'm coming at it from a functional standpoint. What's going on in the function, the neuroscience behind writing? What's blocking kids from getting it, the words on paper?
So do you help everybody in the classroom or just the ones that have this blockage?
My products are supposed to help the entire regular and learning support classroom.
Okay.
So it's students for everyone. It's for everyone.
Okay.
Now, what I do qualify and say is probably not intellectual disabilities. There's kids that are regular ed and learning support.
Right.
And Sherry, I did look it up and it's correct either way.
Okay. Thank you.
It can say daughter educational consulting, period, to train, educate, and you can go on with your, or you can do it the way you have it. Both are correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And I like having that up there at the top.
Mm-hmm. I have a question, Sherry.
Sure.
What do you mean by rally classroom engagement?
So most of the time, these kids that are just disengaging, so I'm going to try and rally some, like, come on, let's get moving in class and like help them enjoy what they're, why okay. they're there. So it's kind of that positive psychology in the background.
Would there be enough people that didn't know what that meant?
Probably. And that's why I've been struggling with a mission statement is my, nobody knows what dysgraphia is. So I'm starting at this. I need awareness for it, but I also want to go beyond awareness. And I really want to get to the core of the problem. So I have been really struggling with getting a mission statement together for years because no one knows what it is. And everybody asks me, does everybody know what that means? I'm like, no, nobody knows what it means. That's my problem, is nobody knows. And I get frustrated. So sorry if I'm getting frustrated, but it's like, I can't find anything that shares my mission because nobody knows what dysgraphia is. Like I know 1,000 people that follow me, you know, like they have a clue. There's the world of people that are dyslexia specialists. They don't even know what dysgraphia is. You know, like, and that's my half of my problem is just nobody knows what I'm doing because nobody knows the word.
And there's not an easy way to describe it. You have to go into a sentence or two or a paragraph or two to even describe it.
Sherry, can I ask a question?
You can ask. My brain is just going fried. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I love what you have said, but my brain kind of gets lost in what you're saying. Yeah. And have you tried to put this in bullet form?
I can try to do that as well. Yes, I can do that.
Ruth, did you say something?
I just was agreeing with you.
You disagree?
I agree with, I don't know about the bullet forms, but I get lost too.
Is there a way that you can, you know, put the first three words?
Well, this is a
6-foot
banner. I can do almost anything in 6 feet.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out if you go from trains. See, when I first read it, I thought you meant I didn't discern from trained educators. What I was seeing was a different path. So if you take trains and kind of use it, and then describe what you're going, who you're going to train, the educators, therapists, and parents, to transcend the boundaries of traditional instructional intervention, period. And then another point out from that is so they can unleash the success. I'm just kind of winging this, but I'm just trying to figure out a way, if you broke it up a little bit.
I know how to break it up. I was trying to get the content and the sentence down.
Okay.
Yeah, Carrie, I think your sentence and content is good. I see where Debbie is going with it, though, because it's such a long sentence that your mission statement is all in one long sentence. You just have a comma in the middle. And so I see where Debbie is going, is to actually make the thoughts a little shorter. It's kind of like when you're getting married and the pastor says, repeat after me. And if he says too much at a time, you can't even remember the whole gosh darn sentence.
Good point.
I've seen brides and grooms stumble on that because they're like, what do you say? So just make it a little, maybe your sentences, make them a little more close ended and create another beginning with another sentence instead of making it one long sentence.
Got it. All right.
Just a thought, because that way when you're reading through it, it again, it's just a long sentence.
Yeah.
It says what you wanted to say. I think it's just a long sentence.
Okay.
Ruth said something.
Yes, Ruth.
Have you had any of your educators push back on that boundaries of traditional instruction intervention?
That just got written today. I was using something else, and my father said, I don't understand what you're saying. So we were trying to figure out how to word it. What are you thinking?
My experience with educators are they're pretty
rigid.
That's a good word. And I come from a whole family of educators, so I can talk about them. and myself was too. But I'm a little bit leery that they're going to feel like their toes are stepped on.
Okay.
In other words, that they might think that Sherry is saying that they're not doing it right.
Right.
Because she wants to break through the way they've been, the traditional way, and she wants to show them a new way.
That's just the thought. I don't know, but I think you could. I was trying to see if we could even take some of that out and say, you know, parents to transcend and unleash success for struggling writers, or maybe support. This is just coming to my mind. So, and support the classroom teacher, because teachers are so swamped. They'll take all the support they can get. As long as they don't feel like you're saying you're not doing a good job.
Yeah.
So, and maybe to support traditional education. That might not be quite right.
Ruth, I see where you're going with that. That's a good point. In other words, kind of make it sound like you're coming alongside the teacher, not instead of the teacher.
Or collaborate.
Oh, I like the word collaborate.
And you could still put that transcend in there and put it down with, and you're actually collaborating with all of those. So maybe it's not trains. Maybe that's where collaborate comes in.
Okay.
Collaborates with educators, therapists, and parents.
Now, you know what? If instead of the word trains, if you put the word collaborate with educators, therapists, and parents, I think she can leave the transcend the boundaries of traditional instruction intervention. I think she could leave the word boundaries there, because now she's saying she's collaborating. She's coming alongside them for something additional to the traditional.
I definitely
agree. So she wants to transcend the boundaries now.
I definitely agree. When you were saying that, I was just thinking, I was like, what if you did, we strive to collaborate with educators, therapists, and parents to allow them to transcend the boundaries of traditional education or instruction intervention, then I would put a period right there, allowing them to unleash the success for struggling writers and strengthen their emotional, like, that's where I would put that. Allowing them to unleash their success, to unleash the success of struggling writers.
That is
okay. I'm going to go back and read it again. Sorry that I'm reading it out loud.
No, what you were doing was good.
We strive to collaborate with educators, therapists, and parents to transcend the boundaries of traditional instruction intervention, allowing them to unleash success for allowing them to unleash success for struggling writers. Okay. Allowing them to unleash success.
So the them, allowing them, does that mean the educators, therapists, and parents?
I think so. That's what I would say.
Yeah, that's the one I'm trying to. Why is
allowing our team, allowing leaders to unleash their success from struggling with writing and to strengthen their social, emotional, something like that.
How about for these struggling writers?
Yes. Yeah, I like that. Allowing
for these struggling writers.
Mm-hmm. Allowing struggling writers to unleash success and strengthen their social emotional well-being while rallying classroom engagement.
Okay. That was recorded. Yes, no.
Well, Sherry, I think you've got a good now when you finally tweak that the way you want it to sound, you'll have to use that as one of your blogging posts, because it's a great way to introduce your mission statement. And it's a perfect way to write about it and get it out in front of folks that don't know what it is. So now you can even tell the story. Remember, storytelling is your cornerstone. So now you can even tell the story that, and you can be very authentic. You can say, I was really struggling with writing my mission statement. And after looking at all the different angles and avenues of my mission statement, this is my current mission statement. And it's a great way to introduce that to your audience.
Sherry, if you put, like Elise said, to unleash success for the struggling writers, and instead of using rally, could you use encourage?
I like that. Encouraging classroom engagement, encouraging full classroom rally.
I was trying to get something stronger than that.
Okay.
Yeah, but will people understand the word rally over encouragement or encouraging?
I think they have a political picture of what it means.
Did you look up the definition of rally?
To create a community that's moving forward as a group.
Yeah, it's to bring together... To raise up, to call up, to summon, to gather, to round up, to assemble, to join, combine, unite.
Yeah. Ruth?
This may be just me that's seeing this, but I'm struggling to get that allowing the team to be a separate sentence. Just because it feels like a fragment.
Mm-hmm. Completely understand. I know. I'll keep reading it over and over, seeing if maybe we could.
Instead of a period, a comma.
Mm.
Or a semicolon. I mean, I agree that it needs to be, that'd be good to break it up. I don't have a problem with that. But if you do break it up, make sure that you've got a complete sentence, because your educators are going to scream at that.
Listen, being my mom is a teacher, having that education background, and I've always been a run-on sentence girl, and I'm reading it like this is definitely something that I would say because I have a lot to say. It's very powerful for sure, but I'm definitely like, how can I help her break this up so that it's not as much of a mouthful and she's still getting that powerful, like, emotional draw that she has so far. I love this. I keep working on it over here. So give me a moment.
See, this is what the idea of masterminding is all about, is just kind of like throwing it out there and going, this is where I'm frustrated. But I came down. The other thing is my niece did a new logo for me, and I don't know if I have it easily accessible here or not. I don't see it. Oh, there's photos. I don't know if it's going to pop up in photos or not. Yes. Not quite sure why it looks like that pixelated going that big, but that's the other thing that I've been working on, is trying to get an original logo. So you guys were talking a little bit about pictures and stuff like that. I have a meeting with a lawyer about trademarking, and I'm trying to like get all this stuff that lined up, that I have original art. So I asked her to make a new logo for me. So that's what it looks like at the moment.
Is that green supposed to be two different shades?
Yes.
Okay.
It's emerald, amethyst, and peridot. It goes on the pillars of my, I have three pillars, and that's awareness, perspective, and outcome.
Okay.
And then the idea then is the pencil has the other two colors in it that are my supporting colors. But yes, there's supposed to be two different greens and two different purples.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. Listen, we're at the top of the hour. This has been great. Great conversation. Please feel free to connect with each other outside the call. You don't have to be limited just to the call. Sherry, if you want to connect with some folks in the group on their ideas, if you want to then send it out to us once you finally have it tweaked and you feel comfortable with it, you're welcome to do that.
Okay. There's my email for everybody.
All right. Perfect.
Cool, thank Sherry.
You. Yep. Sherry at SharonDaughter.com. It's her name. So if you have some ideas for Sherry, send them on over. If you want, make sure when you open, are you still sharing your screen, Sherry?
No, I'm not.
Okay. I was going to say, did everybody get a copy of that offhand or no?
Uh-huh.
Yep. Okay. Very good. I was going to say it'll be in the replay if you want to go back to the replay. I'll have the replay up later this evening, and you can always go back in the replay if you want to take a screen print of it, of her screenshot. So any other comments before we go? I think we've had a chance to get all the way around. I don't want to tie everybody up here on a Monday. I know Mondays are always kind of crazy. So thank you for being on today. This has been great. And get your blogs ready to go in advance. Again, writing for me is sometimes hard to fit in. I like Ruth said, I like writing ahead a little bit, getting a couple of three blog posts ahead so that when I'm ready to post, I don't feel stressed trying to post, because consistency is the key. Pick a day and time each week that you're going to be posting and be consistent with your posting. That's the key. Because people will start watching for that. I don't know if any of you are like me, you're probably getting emails now from some of your favorite people, and you're getting their emails consistently. And that's what makes a difference in the business, is having that consistency. So make sure that you do that. Any questions or comments before we go today?
No, I'm glad I was able to join this.
Yes, this was fun. Debbie, I like your backgrounds.
I've been playing. This is a Van Gogh.
I like it. I like it.
Ruth, any traveling.
Yes. Ruth, any comments or questions or anything before we go? No, Ruth's good. Sherry, did you get a little bit of insight there? Please feel free to connect. If someone in the group was really connecting with you and you want to chat with them, please connect. And Elise, any final comments from you?
No, I don't think so. I would say, Debbie, I know you're kind of looking at your Van Gogh. I love that. One of the things that I just now tried, I hope you guys can see this. And I know
yes.
on my shoulders. Yes. This is a Canva special too. I found a Zoom background so you can kind of advertise yourself instead of having to say it every time. And if anybody wouldn't mind just picking up your phone and maybe just scanning the QR code on this side and just tell me if it actually pops up for you, I would absolutely appreciate it. Thank you, ladies.
Yes, I'm on my phone, so I can't do that at the moment because I don't have you on my screen. But
it's too small.
Okay.
It's too small.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it's not picking it up. It's too small.
Thank you. I will address that then.
Yeah.
I might be getting it.
Okay.
No, it is too small.
It is too small. Okay. Well, let me just ask this. Would it be too much if it was almost this high to my shoulder, like a little bit bigger that way?
You can see that. That's the only way I think you're going to get people in there. I even tried to maximize my Zoom screen and it's not picking it up.
Okay.
So, I'd almost switch it to the other side.
Yeah, because you're shifted more to that side of the screen. You keep
my computer is at an angle. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Yes,
so, put it in the computer. Make the computer big.
Okay.
And put it in the computer on that side.
Okay. Perfect.
Because that has you more space anyway than a phone would.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Sure.
Another option too is just put it up briefly, and then you can make a comment about it, just like the Linktree. Just say if you want to connect with me, here's my QR code. I'm going to leave it up there for a few minutes, and then you can change to another screen.
Okay.
So that when you're really giving your talk or presentation or whatever, then you're not really
in the middle of it. Yeah. No, I get that. That's a great idea. Thank you so much.
That is a great idea. Thanks, Ruth.
So, Kathy, one question. Yes. Can you put your Linktree into that QR code?
Yes.
Yes.
I think so. I think Linktree does give you a QR code. Yes.
So where do you start the Linktree? Is it from Calendry?
No, just Google Linktree and just open up. It's a whole separate account and just open up.
Yeah.
Just open up a open up an account, add your profile in there, and then you can start making links. And again, there's a paid version and a free version, and I'm just using the free version. And then once you're done and you save it, it'll give you a link and a QR code that you can share.
I like that. If I can put the QR code on my phone, and if somebody says, "Do you have a business card?" Here's my phone. I like that.
Ruth, I put that link to the Linktree in our chat. So if you want to click on that, and that's how you can get your free one and your other one. Mine is looking a little sad right now, but we're going to get there. We're going to get there.
You're doing a good job.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I appreciate all of you ladies. And I wanted to encourage all of you that just from me being here, and especially just being younger and being like, wow, you guys are a lot farther than I felt like I was, but you guys have been doing this a while longer than I have. I really appreciate your time and I appreciate everything you're doing. So please keep going, because people like myself who are just trying to make a QR code really appreciate you. So thank you.
I want to say that we appreciate you because you're going to help us technology wise.
We're going to see. We're trying.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here, Elise. Thank you.
Can I just say a praise for somebody in my family? My cousin is getting Special Agent of the Year, and he has to go to Washington, D.C. to receive his award. I'm like, woohoo.
Nice.
Wonderful. Yes.
So he lives in Oregon. So I haven't seen him in years.
Do you get to go and see him, Sherry? Do you get to see him get the award?
Well, I asked him if he could send me details of when he's receiving it. And maybe, I have no idea if we're going to be able to go down there or not. because it's right before I have to go down in June. So okay. It'll be another trip down. Yeah, I just found that out. And he just was posting some more details about it. So special agent of the year, I'm not quite sure what force he's in. I know his dad was a park ranger, and I don't think he's doing the same thing, but I don't know. Special agent. Woo. Wow.
Very nice. Cool. So, all right, guys, we're going to take off. Thank you so much for joining in today, and we will see you next time.
Okay. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.